All right, good morning. Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good. Jude, verse 21. Talk about the love of God. Jude, verse 21. All right. So you got several instructions here. Remember, the point of this letter was Jude was going to write about the common salvation and changed gears and said it was more needful to talk about contending for the faith. So he gives, three instructions, the instruction and then how to accomplish the instruction there at the end here. There may be six, but I think based on this verse that we're going to read, there's a cross-reference that makes it look like it's one thing here. But Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So keep yourselves in the love of God, looking. There's two aspects, keeping yourself in the love of God and the looking part. Like you're waiting for something, there's an expectation, there's a hope, and through keeping someone watching and looking for the redemption that draws nigh and all of that, they'd keep themselves in the love of God. So there's this aspect of keeping and maintaining or abiding in the love of God by looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the idea. This isn't a limited instruction necessarily. It's appropriate command, whether Jew, Gentile, past, present, future. In other words, it's not limited and in limited instruction. It really has no time stamp on it. The recipients of this instruction, remember, are those that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, called according to Jude at the beginning of the book, or the little letter here. So, that said, we're going to talk about the love of God. I mean, I think there's many applications. It exists whether you can't really make God love you. He has already shed his love abroad, and so the instruction is to keep inside of that, stay inside of that. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these things. Father, pray that you'd help us this morning. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. We got several that are sick. Pray that you'd heal up their bodies. Lift up Jeff to you, that you would heal up his body after the open heart surgery and help him recover quickly. And for the several that are sick, that you would take care of them. And then a few that are out of town, give them safety as they travel. And pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us with your words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so those two aspects, the two aspects of the love of God and then the waiting or keeping, or not keeping, but looking for something, looking for Jesus Christ, those two things go hand in hand. And I'll show you another little cross-reference that goes with this. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, what Paul said about it, because the same duo show up here, the love of God and the waiting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. So Jude says to keep in the love of God. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." So being directed into and keeping yourselves in. If you're keeping, then you're in it. It's a matter of keeping in it. If you're being directed towards it, that sounds like you may be outside of it. But either way, those two things go hand in hand. The living inside of, abiding in the love of God, and looking to Jesus Christ and the future and the hope and the second coming, things like that. So that said, that's a good cross reference to what you just read in Jude, that 2 Thessalonians 3:5. I want to show you a few things about the love of God, because we all know, I'm sure you could say, well, the love of God is Christ on the cross, or Jesus Christ, you know, the manifestation of God in the flesh is the love of God. Well, that is certainly the main aspect of the love of God. But just like faith, just like other things in the Bible and in life, there are several applications to this, to the love of God. And so I want to show you what the Lord Jesus Christ said about it, and told some religious leaders about it. Show you several times it shows up in the Bible, that phrase, the love of God. And maybe it'll help us understand what Jude is saying about keeping in the love of God. So go over here to Luke chapter 11, and here's what the Lord Jesus Christ, he always had some good commentary for the religious leaders. Luke chapter 11 and verse 37. So keeping in the love of God, looking for Jesus Christ, those two things go hand in hand. It's almost like looking for Santa Claus if you're a kid or something like that. There's an expectation. You're hoping and you're looking for the reward there. Yeah, there's an excitement about the future, about the hope and the future life. Luke 11, verse 37. Here's the love of God showing up in Jesus' commentary and conversation with some Pharisees here. It says, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed for dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." This is just like walking over dead things there. So the love of God here, Jesus says, the Pharisees have all of these religious, and they do these things. It's not like they're not law-abiding people on the outside. They do these things, but they've forgotten things like judgment, the love of God. They've forgotten this. And so the outside appears to be something, but it's not. It doesn't match what's on the inside. Inside, he says they're ravening, and there's wickedness on the inside. And so the reason there are those things on the inside of these hypocrites and these religious people is because they've forgotten, they've left off judgment, they've left off the love of God. So that being said, this phrase, the love of God, it applies to other things than just Jesus Christ on the cross. It will apply to Jesus Christ on the cross, but it applies to other things because the Pharisees aren't participating in it. And they should have been. And Paul and Jesus said, you should not have ever left that off. You should have been a part of it. And granted, if you look through Israel's history, I mean, God's love had been poured out to that nation in such a way where he had given them light, he had given them his words. I know we've talked about it 100 times, but he had given them discernment, he had given them laws, he had given them a way to conduct themselves in society, he had given them his own mind. The Lord had shared his own thoughts with the nation. And so all of that was expressions of God's love to a people. And so now when they got that, they propped themselves up with, you know, we keep the law and we abide by this and we're not murderers and we're not these types of people. We're not these types of people. So what they did, instead of finding out more about God, instead of letting the law address their hearts, what they did was they found righteousness in, or they tried to find righteousness in the law. They tried to use the law to justify their lives, and that wasn't the purpose of it. So religion, that's not the love of God, and there's this unbalanced focus with religious people on appearance. Particularly, I mean, the Pharisees, but where there's an outward expression, where it's really just a facade, is what it is. It's a facade of some of a kind, and it masks what's on the inside. And really, you find it true. I think it's even, you can personally understand it. But the more you try to hide on the inside, the bigger the facade becomes, or the more expressive the facade becomes. It's like I put a bigger smile on my face because I have more frustration inside, or there's more trouble inside. And so I don't know, the outside just doesn't match that's the inside there. And there's this self-righteousness that the religious leaders had there. And the idea, the point of it really is the outward expression, or the outward, not expression, but the outward appearance, is so that they would have approval of men. That's the point. Is so that men would approve. That's who they were seeking approval from. And the Lord addresses it over and over and over again. They're seeking rewards from men. They seek approval from men. And as you go on here, the Lord's going to get real specific about that and say, look, if you're seeking rewards from men, you can't be seeking rewards from God. Those two things are mutually exclusive. Which leads us to this next time the love of God shows up in John chapter 5. Look over here in John 5. So these religious leaders should have been participating in the love of God. They weren't. They were participating in a show. Yeah, they definitely love themselves. John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So they're, that's where life is. "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men." That was their problem. They're seeking honor from men. "I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I'm come in my Father's name. Ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe?" Here's a good question. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" That's the issue. That's the real issue. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" So there's a... Here are folks again who are teaching. They are They are religious leaders who are weekly teaching from the scriptures to in synagogues, and Jesus says, you don't have the love. You're not looking, and you're not interpreting, and you're not understanding the scriptures. You're using the scriptures for your own personal things, but you don't get the point of the scriptures. The point of the scriptures is they testify of me, but you won't come to me. And if you had believed the scriptures, you would have come to me. But all you're doing is using the scriptures to prop up your life, use it as maybe a belt to whip other people or whatever. I mean, you're just it's not being used. They're not being used right. And the point is, you don't have the love of God in you. You've left off this the one of the main components of this, and instead of loving God, you love you. And you just use the things of God to your own purposes. You just use them. You're just using them. And so they get chastised again here. They get reamed out here again. But that verse 44, that's the issue. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? It's like those two things are exclusive things. If you seek honor from men, you're not seeking honor from God. And if you seek honor from God, you're not seeking honor from men. But this is this whole outward appearance that was their way of being propped up in society and all that stuff. But inside, or in their hearts, they're filthy. They're wicked and full of, like the Lord said, full of adulteries and all kinds of, you know, covetousness and things like that. So the love of God is something that the Bible says God is love. And so he pours out his love in various applications. He poured out his love to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel largely just didn't live in it. But there were several applications to it. Ultimately, the love of God poured out in Jesus Christ on the cross, and that's a major manifestation of it. Here's another one. Look in Romans chapter 5 about this love of God. In John 5, before I read this, Jesus identified people's lack of God's love. Jesus identified people's lack of God's love by what they did with Jesus Christ. He says, "You won't receive me because you don't love God. You don't have the love of God. You won't listen to God." And if you would listen to what God had said in the past, you would believe me right now, but you don't. So that's how he identifies it. His words, put it this way, and later on he'll say in John that his words aren't abiding in the people. They're not in these people, and so they've abandoned what they were given. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." There's hope again. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." So there's hope, there's the love of God. All those two things go so hand in hand. You read about it in Jude, you read about it in Thessalonians with Paul, you read about it in Romans, that here's the Holy Spirit pouring out God's love. And the manner in which he does that primarily is through the scriptures. He gives you the words, and now you can read, now you understand, or you're given an opportunity to understand how God has shown his love and you're able to participate in it. And so the Holy Spirit inside of a person is not a magical experience. It's primarily by the words of God. That's how you learn more about God, is through the words that the Holy Spirit has spoken through holy men of God, because they are moved by the Holy Ghost and those kinds of things. So when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost being inside of a person, that largely just means that the words of God are in that person, they're abiding, they're in there. So Paul says it this way, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So you've trusted Jesus Christ, you believe in Jesus Christ, you have received now the words that God intended you to receive. That's Jesus Christ. It's his words about Jesus Christ. So those words are now in you, if you've received them. All right, so this is another aspect of the love of God. The Holy Spirit's the instrument who imparts this love of God to people, and that's how he does it, verse 5 there. And so the reason why I'm going through some of these things is because I think in Jude, when he says keep yourselves in the love of God, I think some folks have this idea that he's talking about maintaining salvation or something like that. And it's really, you can't make everything about salvation. It's not everything's about salvation. He's talking about the fact that God has poured out his love in a certain way and expressed his love. And you're not going to do something to make God more loving. He's already expressed his love. And you can either participate in that or not participate in it. And so it's not like you're going to do something and drum up God's love or make him, you know, look down and be more loving. It's that he is love. He is the source of love, and he poured out his love, and you can either participate in that or not. And so that's the idea. The instruction is keep yourself in the love of God. That's how you contend for the faith, is you keep yourselves in that. The things that God has given to mankind to express his love to mankind, you keep yourself in those things. Primarily the words of God, the things that God said, and not just like having a Bible, but abiding by what he said, those instructions, because those are loving instructions. They're not egregious. They're not grievous, as he said. They're things to help. So here's another one. Here's a couple of them in 1 John. We'll get to 1 John. This will be the last couple of verses we look at. 1 John chapter 3. This one's reminiscent of John chapter 5, what we just read. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He talked about Cain earlier. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So that's the evidence, that's the appearance, the physical show of the love of God here. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There's the love of God twice now in this verse. And this, it's so interesting in this, this one's a pretty simple explanation, that talking about brothers and talking about particularly brothers and sisters in Christ specifically, and if there's a real need there, and you have the opportunity to do good there and you choose not to, he says that, well, there's no love of God there. That's not there. Whatever you think is there is not there. And so, and we've talked about generosity and stuff like that on Wednesday nights and how this is more applied here. But anyhow, the point is, the love of God is a very simple thing. You know to do right, but you don't do it. Well, then the love of God's not there. You knew what you should have done. You didn't do it. Okay, then quit fooling yourself that you're something that you're not. So this idea, it's interesting. We won't go the whole study here, but I find it particularly interesting. There's a verse in 1 John at the very end, and he says, "He that hath the Son of God hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And then he also says, "These things have I written that you may know that you believe on the Son of God, that you have eternal life. These things have I written that you may know." And then John, I don't think I've ever heard a study on it, but when we quote that verse, it's almost like we ignore everything John wrote to show that eternal life exists. And it's a real simple concept. Here he's talking about the love of God. Why? How does that manifest? You love the brethren. Why is that a proof of the love of God? Because Jesus Christ loves the brethren. That's his part of him. That's part of his characteristics. And so the simple point is with John is, look, if Jesus Christ is inside of you, then he will stick out in certain places. And he gives four or five of them, and he says, by this you know you have eternal life. By this you know you have eternal life. By this we have assurance. And he's just pointing out areas that are characteristic of Jesus Christ and saying, look, if you have this characteristic, that means Jesus Christ is there. That's how you have assurance. Now, you may have assurance like, well, a lot of folks have assurance that they're all right with God who aren't all right with God. But they just, you know, they're fine. They're all right. They don't really care. It's neither here nor there, or they believe in their religious teachings, or they're fully convinced that, you know, hey, I'm fine with God. That's one thing. What John is saying is you may have deceived yourself into believing something, but if you want God's assurance, here's where it is. This is where it is. Simply saying, if he's in you, he shows up, and this is how he shows up. And if there's characteristics of Jesus Christ in you, then you can have assurance that he's there. And so this is one of them, the love of God. And here's another one. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. But that 1 John 3 is very characteristic of, reminiscent of John chapter 5, where Jesus tells those Pharisees, you won't receive me, you won't listen, you don't have any part with me. Why? Because God's not even in you. He's nowhere near you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. There you go. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So that's a manifestation, the manifestation of the love of God. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. There's another love of God there. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. This is how you know. And he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That sounds a lot like Romans chapter 5. How the Holy Ghost shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And so now we're hoping, we're looking forward to the second coming, looking forward to Jesus Christ, looking forward to his whole renovation of everything. And so this is what Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How does he say it? Waiting, I think. It's a looking forward to it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And like Paul said it over in Thessalonians, there's that element of loving God and patiently waiting. I've got to find it. The Lord direct your hearts. Paul said it this way. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And it's interesting that towards the end of the Bible, as you get sort of more and more into troublous times and things like that, and the immediate, time before Jesus Christ returns and all that kind of stuff, this whole love of God thing becomes a real issue. And it reminds me of what I think it's Matthew who cites it, but he says basically as tribulation, as time goes on, he says the love of many shall wax cold. And it's like either people are getting revealed for what they are as time goes on, and maybe that's part of it, but also it just gets harder. It just gets harder to love and to know how to love and to express love and to trust people. I think about it this way. I was reading, it's some of these Christian accounts of brothers and sisters in Christ who live under communism and, I mean, real tribulation. And then some of the complications are, I don't even know if I can trust you enough. I don't know if you're going to tell on me. I don't know if you're going to give up the secret meetings we have. And so trying to love people just becomes psychologically more difficult because you don't know. There's so much deception. I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if I can, how close I need to get to you. And so, just the fact that time goes on and it gets harder and people get more cynical as time goes on, but there's also the element of, man, as governments get more oppressive, it's like you notice the love is just like, man, it's disappearing. People just don't want to be around each other in general. But then also, how do you love people when, I don't know, you can't trust? And I mean, all those things are make for a very confusing time. But I think the answer is in obviously the words of God. But it's interesting that as time goes on and time goes on in the Bible and history presses on, more and more the Lord says, he keeps talking about more and more this love and love and love. And it's like that's the thing that gets removed. That's the thing that gets removed from society. The love of many shall wax cold. And so I think it's pretty appropriate how it all works out. And then Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. It's confusing sometimes. It's obviously hard. But keep yourselves in the love of God. How? You're looking for Jesus Christ, patiently waiting. That's where the hope is. That's where the future is. That's where redemption is. That's the thing. If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, keep your focus on the future and his return and renovation of everything and his righteous judgment, it's like I said earlier, it's like the kids, you know, waiting for Santa Claus and, you know, I don't know, do good, be good until he comes and be good. And it's kind of, I mean, it's a dumb example, but it's like that's sort of a similar idea. Like, do the right thing and the reward's coming. Do the right thing, the reward's coming. And so keeping the love of God, patiently waiting, looking for redemption, looking for Jesus Christ, those kinds of things. And so that is how Jude says this is one of the things, one of the elements of how you contend for the faith. of how you contend for the faith. We talked about prayer, I think, last week. This is the second element, keeping in the love of God. God has already poured out his love. You're not going to make him be any more loving than he is. In fact, he's the source of it. And so the ways in which he's poured out his love, stay in those things. Stay in there. So I hope that's helpful. We'll wrap it up early here, and let's get prepared for, we'll go next door. Father, I pray that this has been helpful. I thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this time together. Really do pray for the folks that are sick. Pray that you'd heal up their bodies, and for Jeff, that you'd heal up his body, help him recover quickly. For those that are traveling, that you'd keep them safe on the road. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this time together with each and every brother and sister here. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.